Alright, hello everybody. This is your host Brandon from Rockstaries. I'm here with Joey and Michael from Pulling Punches. Joey, what instrument do you play?
I play the bass.
Nice.
Michael? For better or worse, I sing.
Now, it's a pleasure to meet you guys.
How good to be here, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we're up in the frozen tundra of Connecticut. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Single digits is not the thing right now. So, you guys are from Philadelphia, a different scene than here in Connecticut, so I hear. How did you guys get together?
Well, I live down in, like, the tip of South Jersey, like, all the way, almost Delaware. So I, like, there's no music down there. So I troll Craigslist, and you see ads on there for, you know, bass player wanted, guitar player wanted.
Wives,
yeah.
Not the mail order kind, like more local, but yes.
So Philadelphia was the closest place for me, and I went to school there. I grew up going to shows there, so it was only natural to try and find a band there, even though it's like an hour and a half ride for me. So when we practice, it's an hour and a half drive up, hour and a half drive back. But
commitment.
Yeah, so we went up there and didn't know what I was getting into. It's in, like, we practiced in a shady warehouse up in North Philly, which is, like, if you're not familiar with Philadelphia, North Philly's one of the worst sections you can go to. It's one part that hasn't been gentrified just yet. Well, there's a Target right down the street.
But you do have a good chance of getting a window smashed out, like, if the weather's nice around there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you have to be careful.
Yeah. Once again, commitment.
So, yeah, I go on Craigslist, and I show up. Don't know really what I'm getting into. You listen to some tracks on Facebook, but then you meet them, and played a couple times. They liked what I was doing. I liked what they were doing. And, you know, just practice until you're ready to play a show. So
nice.
That's how I got into the band. And that's just like, you know, because Philly was the place where, like, I wanted to play and be in the band. So that's why I went from where I was in South Jersey up to Philadelphia.
And, I mean, Philly does have a ton going on. I mean, on any given night, there's probably 4 solid shows at different venues around town. There's that many, you know, people that are doing interesting things. You know, a lot of it's really good, some of it's a little bit weird. But in all different kinds of music, you know, within punk. So there's always something going on to pay attention to and to do. Yeah, the band, though, back to that, we all literally met through Craigslist. There's, like, not a single personal introduction. None of us knew each other before we decided to play music together.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I got sick of being just a grown-up, you know, all the time. And so I got back into music, and it's been awesome, you know. So we spend at least, 4 or 5 hours a week, like, practicing, writing songs. Writing songs is a big thing right now. And then when we play, like when we take trips like this, we go a little bit nuts, and I usually end up hurting each other.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I do want to thank Joe, by the way. We had a rare opportunity to play on a big stage. We were down in Delaware with War on Women at this place called J.B. McGinnis. Was it last week? It was only last weekend, right? Yeah. But it's the sort of place that has a sign as you walk in that says, "No motorcycle colors allowed."
No colors.
Just to give you
no
an idea
attitudes.
On the venue. But we had a nice big stage where everybody had room to move around and not hit each other. And so Joe decided it would be a cool idea to just run into me, blindside me, and jack up my back. Anyway, so I love you, and I wanted to say thank you on air for that. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Great friend.
Right? It takes a good friend to help you heal, and it takes a good friend to really, like, hit you hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sometimes I think this is his way of
love
saying,
hurts,
you know, tough
right?
Love. Sometimes love hurts.
Yes. It's like Guitar Hero says, a band is the dysfunctional family that you choose.
It's so true.
It's
like when
very
you talk
true.
About like,
like we're like, yeah. Absolutely.
It's like, oh, it's such a good time, and like, oh, you hate each other. And like, I feel like right now, like the songwriting process, like, brings out the best worst in people. Because it's like, all right, we got this music, and then some of me, like, I'll be like, I don't like this song. We don't need it. And 3 of them will be like, what are you talking about? This song is like, this is it. This is a song. I was like, no. And so, like, one person out of the band will, like, totally just be like, no, I don't like this song. And it could happen the other way around. Then I could have some come in with an idea, and I love it, and then two of the guys like it, and then, you know, it's like half the band versus half the band. So in the end, we either totally throw a song out, or we totally rewrite a song so that everybody's happy. So that's usually how it works.
I think it's a different process than, you know, songwriting wise than what most bands have. And I think that's because we're not trying to write straight hardcore. We're not, you know, just a pop punk band. So there's a lot of different elements that everybody listens to. And so everybody has a slightly different idea of how a song should go, you know? And actually, I think most recently I was the one that was like, these songs are great. Let's go record them. And, you know, Joe is a voice of reason, you know, and they're already better. They're already better, like, 2 weeks ago, because we're trying to go in and record, and I think it's going to be an EP. We'll see what happens. Maybe it ends up being a full record. But we're aggressively writing a whole bunch of new songs. Not that the record and the EP we have are old. Both were released in 2014. But we're already sick of it, because that's just kind of how we go.
Which is Lighten Up, Burn It Down.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we spent, I want to say, at least 2 months arguing over what we were going to call that.
Funny story, because I was in there, and I was like, let's just name it. I, like, the drummer, Mike, is like, yo, you've got, like, 100 ideas, and I can pull, like, 4 good ideas out of there. So it's not like you have good ideas. You have a lot of ideas, and we can pull it out. So I'm, like, just riddling off titles, like, we should call this one Jessica Alba. We should call this one, you know, light it up, let it burn, like brutal. And then he heard, he's like, oh, I like that. But then when he actually heard was lighten up, let it burn. Like, oh, like lighten up, chill out, and just let it burn. So it was like brutal. And like, no, we're going to go for like ironic.
Nice.
And but everybody heard something different. Like, no, I heard you say light it up, burn it down. And somebody else, no, he's definitely said lighten up, burn it down. Lighten up, burn it down. There was like a typo in the end, and it's like we sent the wrong one to print, and it's like that's the one they got.
And that's how we ended up with that. Yep.
I like it. Accident.
Right. So we're happy with it.
So how did you guys get to the cover of the album?
We did that photo shoot. I used to do a lot with photography. I don't as much anymore, but we wanted to do something ourselves. It was actually shot right outside the urban wasteland around the rehearsal space in Philly. And there were all sorts of broken bottles and, like, you know, half burnt and thrown away tires and all sorts of stuff around some dumpsters. We're like, we're going to do like a Molotov cocktail lighting shot because who cares around here? You got to admit, it's probably a little conspicuous to see, you know, four guys huddled together lighting stuff on fire.
Yeah, but we're trying to
thankfully
be really
nobody called the cops.
Yeah. We had like an audience of 10-year-olds like, what are you guys doing over there? And we're like, art projects, get away from us. You know, like, we're trying to light something on fire. Please leave us alone.
Yeah. For the record, there was water in the bottle and not alcohol, so everything
was safety
safe.
First. It's all a show.
Good clarification.
Right.
No need to think into that. Right. Have to collaborate ideas, and was it easy to collaborate ideas at the beginning, or did you guys just start from foundation and just go from there?
They already had songs written when I came into the band, so it was more me like coming in, getting a feel of what they did, and so after getting used to that, then I felt more comfortable in saying, hey, like, let's try this out, or let's do something different. So
nice. Who writes the lyrics?
I do. All of them, but I rewrite them easily 10 times, sometimes 20 times before a song's done. I actually stole that kind of writing concept and made it far more neurotic and worse from a guy named Christopher Higdon, who was in a band called Elliot, who was really, really big for a while. Huge emo, artsy side of emo.
Is that over in Philadelphia?
They're actually from Louisville, Kentucky. But they're such great songwriters, and I've always loved his voice and how he wrote. And just the premise is that if you have specific incidents, you know, specific memories that you're channeling, especially with what we do, because it tends to be so violent and frenetic when we play. Like, it becomes emotionally exhausting to pull on that same exact memory every single time. So I'll deconstruct it until it's not quite as recognizable, at least to me. And hopefully it's a story that people can identify with, but it's always a little bit different. So the lyric writing process is actually pretty arduous, to say the least.
Nice. So, Michael, what's your favorite track, lyric-wise?
On that EP, When We Ruled the World, I think.
Track two.
Yeah. I would. That's the one I think I'm the most proud of. That's just about essentially forgetting your problems and remembering, you know, the good memories, especially from punk and hardcore shows like this one that's at a great DIY space. You know, you can kind of forget, you know, whatever you have to put up with outside, you know, in the regular world, whatever it is, your school, your job, you know, your relationship with your friends or your parents, and you can just have a good time. You know, that song's about that. Inviting Havoc is usually the funnier story, which is, you know, the friends that tend to get you in trouble, you know, the ones that you don't usually want to associate with anymore because you just always regret whatever you got into with them. That's a story about that.
Nice introduction to music. So speaking of staying out of trouble, because there's little ones listening to this.
Well, you know, we can't always promise, but it is important to try to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And playing a musical instrument definitely helps.
Oh, yeah. Definitely try and, like, keep a, you know, positive attitude on things. And when stuff's not going your way, like Michael was saying before, like, you deal with a lot of shit. But the band's a way for us to be like, okay, nothing else matters right now. We're going to do the fucking music. So, like, when you guys are watching tonight, it's like 20 minutes. We shut off who we are, and you just see the band. So, it's going to be, I hope you like it.
Yeah, looking forward to the show, guys. This is going to be awesome. Totally psyched. So, do they have a website that they can go to if they want to maybe catch a sneak peek of the new album or purchase Lighten Up, Burn It Down?
Yeah, and actually, between now and the third weekend in March, we are donating all the proceeds from our Bandcamp, which is pullingpunches.bandcamp.com. Both the album and the EP are a digital download for $1 or more. You can pay what you want. But all proceeds between now and that weekend in March are going to Nate Gluck's cancer fight. Nate was in Ensign and a bunch of other bands in the New Jersey hardcore scene, and unfortunately he's without health insurance and he has stomach cancer. And so the funds we're hoping, whatever small part we can donate to that, we'd certainly appreciate other people's support. After that, you know, they'll go back to funding it. But that's because there is actually a fest, Nate Fest, in New Jersey that weekend to also try and raise some more funds. Beyond that, it's just our Facebook. You know, everybody can look us up. It's Pulling Punches. We usually post some shenanigans a few times a week. It's usually, you know, appropriate enough for the kids to see, you know, but we can't make a, you know, 100% guarantee.
Right. Ted, no worries. Look at your own risk.
Right. It's the internet.
Yeah, we will keep our pants on. I mean, I'm willing to make that much of a promise.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
Rock on, guys. I mean, that benefit show sounds like something pretty amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of big bands coming back out. Like, yeah. Kill Your Idols is coming back out.
Grade's coming down from Toronto. Sick of Doll's playing. Yeah. It's going to be huge.
Nice. Sounds like a good show.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Thanks.
Now, you guys are playing up in Boston tomorrow night.
Yes. Yeah.
There's going to be... We're like, before we left today, was like, I don't know if we should go, because you watch the news and, like, we're all the way down in Philly, so you watch the news up here and it's like the world is caving in on itself under the weight of the snow. But we get up here and it's fine. Like, I can do the speed limit. There's not like crazy shit like flying out. So I have like high expectations for Boston tomorrow. You know, we got a bunch of friends up there we haven't seen in a while. They're going to come out. So it should be like a pretty rad experience. You know, it's a Monday, but, you know, hoping some people want to get out from the snow.
Yeah, we have some good friends, and we're hoping that, you know, it'll be like a lot of shows feel like that when we get to travel like this. You get to see some friends that you don't see in a long time. throw down with them. You know, it's a nice little, you know, reunion as well as a show at the same time. So it'll be good. It'll be great. I don't care that it's a Monday. We're going to throw down pretty hard. It'll be a Friday or Saturday in our world.
Nice. Message behind your music?
That is a tough question.
Well, when we play, it's more like this is the music that we want to put out there. Is there a message? Just kind of follow your dreams, follow your heart, because none of us would be here. We all go through that point in your lives where you're like, okay, you know, you get out of college, it's time to be an adult type stuff. And then if we had done that without looking on Craigslist, without saying like, you know what, music was really awesome and did a lot of great stuff for me, if we never went back and looked at that, then I feel like pulling punches wouldn't happen. And if we could just like push that out there for people and be like, hey, you know, the music is a great thing and we just decided like to get together and make it, so hopefully like people will listen to it, but hopefully other people will be like, hey, you know what, let me pick up a guitar and see what I can do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's every, you know, we don't have an overarching theme, you know, but it's, you know, it's just like what Joe said, you know, we would encourage people to live their own lives, you know, make their own responsible decisions and don't necessarily feel that they have to do something just because they're being pressured to do so, whether it's by, you know, parents or society, you know.
Nice, nice. Now, do you guys have a best show that you can remember?
Opening for Boyz That's Fire was pretty awesome. There's a venue in Philadelphia that actually, as of now, it's very rare that they're doing shows, but First Unitarian Church has a basement. I'm going to say it can fit about 600 kids down there when it's jam-packed. And some of the most legendary shows of all time in Philadelphia have gone down in that room. And we finally got a chance to play there, and we're friendly with few of the other bands. War on Women was playing that also. Boyz That's Fire played. A band called Unwed played, which has Artie from Maritype 11 and Jason from Hot Water Music in it. They were great. I know I'm forgetting somebody else that played that show and I feel really bad at the moment. But it was that was a phenomenal experience.
Where do you guys see pulling punches in 5 years?
You know, just, it's, as long as we can keep coming up with ideas, we're going to keep doing what we do. And as long as it keeps working, you know, I feel like the minute that it's not that idea of creating something we love, as soon as somebody gets tired of it, you know, they could leave the band, they come in. But I feel like pulling punches might keep going no matter what.
Would you guys look forward to an international tour?
We would love to. We'll see what happens once we can get another recording done and if we can get some sort of support from a label to do that. But we would absolutely love to. We've had a little bit of interest out of the UK. It would be great if we were able to go over there and do something in Europe, you know, proper Europe as well as, you know, England. But we'll see. There's no plans at the moment. It's an expensive trip for a band like us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand, man. I went on tour and my pocket was... You know, there's a hole.
Yeah.
So,
You don't do this for the money.
Yeah. No, we certainly don't anyway. Yeah. You know?
Well, rock on, guys. I wish you guys the best of success. And thanks, totally man. Looking forward to this show.
Cool.
Thanks, man.
So, for Rock Stories, this is Brandon. Signing out with Joey and Michael from Pulling Punches.
Thanks for listening to Rock Stories. After you're done, please listen to Dead Tribe Paranormal, where we discuss anything and everything to do with ghosts and ghost hunting. We bring you in-depth interviews with integral members of the paranormal community and share stories of everyday people's encounters with the other side. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, a show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage. Unapologetic is the word that best describes the premier spoken word to music album from Lori Adver. Veering is 19 tracks of edgy poetry served on a platter of crazy rock and electronic music. You can listen to and purchase Veering by Lori Adver at echopodmedia.com under the music tab.
Poetry like you, bikini line, today's fellow.
Forever. Hello, huh?